snow good one time a year. A tradition in my family is that night before we went to bed, we'd walk around the house barefoot in the snow, slow. And I'd always be the first one. I'd run in the front door and I'd shut the front door and lock it. Yes, sir. I love. And I've been asked this week, Pastor Kyle, have you enjoyed the cool weather? This isn't cool yet. This is not cool yet. There were people at Walmart buying heaters. How many of y'all had the heat on this week? Yeah, see, I mean, they had the heat on this week. A heater. Woman was buying a heater. I just don't get it. Oh, man. All right. The past few weeks, we've been talking about the rapture of the church. Last week, as we continued in this series concerning the rapture of the church, we saw what was going to happen when Jesus comes. There's some very specific things that were going to happen when Jesus comes, and we talked about them. We saw that this event was most certainly going to catch people by surprise, both Christians and lost people alike. We learned that Jesus was going to stand in Satan's domain in midair and claim his bride, the church, those who've accepted him through faith. We learned that there would be a shout from Christ and the dead would rise first with this sound, and those who were still alive and remain and trusted Christ as their personal Savior will rise to meet him in the air. But church, the story does not stop with the rapture of the church. It doesn't stop right there. Now, this morning I want to ask, what happens after Christ raptures his church? Are there going to be more events that take place? Are there other things that we should look forward to? Are there things that we should be preparing ourselves for? Well, the answer to all those questions is yes. Yeah, there's more coming. There's more that we can look forward to. There's more that we need to be preparing ourselves for. Amen? So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, Paul writes, "Therefore, though we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, this is almost the opposite, because we really walk by sight and not nearly enough by faith. Yet we are confident and satisfied to be out of the body and to be home with the Lord. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing unto him. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, some of y'all read that scripture and thought, oh me, judgment seat of Christ. And some of y'all sat there and thought, well, you know, hey, man, you know, we're going to be going through the judgment seat of Christ. Some it's going to be good. Some it's going to be bad. Some are going to receive rewards. Some are going to get, you know, their hand popped. But there is more after Christ raptures the church. Let's pray. Father, we do love you and we thank you for this day. We thank you for those who are here. We pray that you would be with us right now. You'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts. Wake us and shake us, God. Help us that we might receive this message. Lord, help us to understand if we are here, this message was prepared for us, by God for us, that we might hear this message. Pray that you'd be with all those who are away, God. There's many who are in the mountains. We pray that you would just give them traveling mercies and grace. Pray that you would just be with those who are homesick, those who are shut in. Lord, let your love be felt by all. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Now we just read a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 10, and we saw something very evident was going to take place. But the question I ask, and the title of the sermon this morning is this: what is going to happen after Christ raptures the church? Now the passage I just read, did that have to do with the lost or the saved? Saved. Saved. Now, let me ask this, because I want to deal with both sides. I want us to all have a clear picture of what's going to take place. Is something going to take place after we're raptured? Yes. Yeah, it is. With the saved. Our story is going to continue. Now, those who are here who aren't saved, those who miss the rapture of the church, is something else going to happen with them as well? Or is it just going to end right there after Christ raptures the church? Is it all going to be over? No, they should pray that it would be. So the first thing I want to address is this. What's the condition of the lost? What is going to happen when Christ raptures the church? Those who have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Those who need to accept Christ. Well, keep that in mind, because the first thing I want to do is make a correction. Your pastor's been doing some studying this past week, and I want to apologize and make a correction, but I don't know that I'm totally wrong for what I've said, but I can't find some scripture to totally substantiate what I've heard pastors say and what I've said in times past as well. Brother Kyle, that's confusing. Just hold on, okay? Y'all with me? Are y'all awake this morning? Bob, you awake? Okay, I'm just checking. All right, what's the condition of the lost? What are the lost are going to go through? Number one, I've heard many preachers make the same comment that I've made concerning the Holy Spirit of God leaving the earth when Christ raptures His church. Y'all with me? Have y'all ever heard a pastor say that? When Christ raptures the church, the Holy Spirit is going to go, He's going to follow the church and Jesus and go up into heaven when Christ raptures the church. Holy Spirit's not going to be on earth anymore. Have y'all ever heard that before? You've never heard that, Mr. Dorcas? Okay, let me keep going. The scripture that's cited by pastors who've made this comment is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. And it gives strong indication that the role of the Holy Spirit does change. It is going to change when that evil is released by the Antichrist, because it's now unconstrained. Y'all with me? We see that in 2 Thessalonians. When Christ raptures the church, what's constraining the Holy Spirit, I mean, the Satan right now is the Holy Spirit. But when the rapture takes place, Satan is unconstrained. He is not going to be held back any longer whatsoever at all. Now, the question is, will the Holy Spirit leave the earth when Christ raptures the church? I would have to say, after studying Scripture this past week, I do not rightfully know. But I do know, what I do know is the Holy Spirit is presently holding back the true intent of Satan today. But when Christ raptures the church, that restraint will be gone. Gone. Now let me help you understand something. There are things that Satan wants to do to you. There are things that Satan wants to do to this church. There are things that Satan does not like about this world, and he wants to do something about it. The only thing that is stopping him from doing what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, is the Holy Spirit of God restraining him. When Christ raptures the church, that restraint will be gone. Y'all with me? Will the Holy Spirit still be here on earth? After studying this past week, I can't tell you yes or no. Will there still be people who accept Christ as their personal Savior after the rapture of the church? Scripture says yes. Will the Holy Spirit need to be dealing with them? Yes. There is Scripture that indicates that the Holy Spirit will be in heaven, but still pricking the heart of man. It's very confusing, but I want to clear this up. I've made the statement, and I can't, Scripture doesn't say yes or no. So if you have that lingering question, is the Holy Spirit going to leave with the church? We can't rightfully say with Scripture. All I can tell you is this, it's going to be a lot different. If you're lost, if you're playing with God, if you do what you want, when you want, how you want, and you don't really know for sure whether you're really saved or not, listen, I'm getting ready to step all over my toes. I've got to move forward. You better pay attention to the message. Second thing, in totality, I do not think anyone, not one of us, can paint an accurate picture of exactly how bad things are going to be on this earth when Satan is released to do what he desires to do on this earth. But I do believe that we can look at our present condition, knowing Satan is currently being restrained, and come to some pretty accurate conclusions. Well, what are you talking about, Brother Kyle? Satan wants to do some things, but he's being restrained. I don't think we can go into the totality of how bad it's going to be when Christ raptures the church, but I think we can get a little close. Well, how? Look at the family, church. Look at the family today. Look at how Satan is trying to attack the family. When I counsel people, when I do premarital counsel, when I'm getting ready to marry them, I tell them, say, listen, you need to be praying right now. Start praying right now, because Satan wants to destroy your marriage. Well, we're not even married yet. Yeah, I know, Satan wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to totally destroy your marriage. Because if he can destroy your marriage, he can destroy the fellowship that you have between you and your wife. Right? If you have children, you've destroyed the fellowship that you have between your wife and your children. If you destroy the fellowship that you have between your wife and your children, when you come to church, you're shot. And Satan knows that. He wants to totally destroy your marriage. We can look at this church. We can look at the world that we live in today, the culture we live in today. Satan is trying his best to redefine what marriage is. Listen, outside the bonds of this Bible, it is not a marriage. Scripture says in Mark chapter 10 that a marriage is between a man and a woman. I didn't hear nearly as many amens as it should have been. Scripture says what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Between a man and a woman, not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. Not a man and an animal, or a man and two or three women. Do you hear me? Culture is trying to redefine what God has defined as the marriage. Now, we can look at what's taking place at the marriage today. How Satan is attacking, and he's successfully attacking. He really is. Now, what's it going to be like when the Holy Spirit is removed? You see, right now, Satan wants to destroy the family unit. But the Holy Spirit is restraining him. When that restraint is removed, Mr. White, what in the world is it going to look like? Holy moly. What in the world is it going to look like? I don't know. Number two, we can look at what Satan is doing with politics. We can look at politics in the world, not just in America. And before I go any further, I want to insert here, I've told y'all many times, y'all know what politics mean, don't you? It's two words. Poly means many, and tics means blood-sucking insects. Right? My grandmother told me a long time ago, she says, I don't trust any of them. She said, if they aren't crooks and liars before they go in, they are when they get out. But they really are. You look at the political system of today. Any of y'all tired of seeing the political ads on TV yet? I'm glad we've got the recall button on the TV. I mean, one says, oh, he's a liar. He does this, 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 and this. And you go to the other one, his opponent, he says, he does this, 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 and this. They're all liars. You look at the political system, what a mess we're in today. Need I remind you that today we live in, the Holy Spirit is restraining what Satan wants to do to this world? Can you imagine what it's going to be like? We look at the condition it's in now. Can you imagine what it's going to look like, Bill, when the Holy Spirit withdraws His hand and Satan is not constrained anymore? But we can look even further. Look at what Satan is doing with the entertainment industry. The entertainment industry is just filled with sex and violence and blood and gore. And I mean, is it disturbing to y'all to see that great wholesome movies that we see on TV, the Christian movies, The Passion of Christ. Y'all, how many of y'all saw The Passion of Christ? It was a blockbuster. I mean, it made billions. But the entertainment industry looks, no, I don't want to do something that makes billions. I want to do something with blood, gore, sex, and violence, and has pedophilia, and has homosexuality. I want to engage the culture. It made money because people want to see this. They don't want to see this garbage. They want to see this. But look at the entertainment industry. Now, I want to remind you, listen, right now the Holy Spirit is constraining what Satan really wants to do. Can you imagine, Bob, what's going to take place in the entertainment industry, in our TVs and movies and I mean, all that junk? And listen to me. Listen to your pastor. I'm going to get red-faced here in a second. I'm seeing all these people posting on Facebook. Oh, Tanum Chatham is down there. He's down at Tybee Island. He's down at Magic Mike, too. Listen, you all got to be a Christian and go see garbage like that. Do you hear me? Shame on you. You all not want to see your eyes to see that kind of garbage. Do you hear me? Why? Because the Holy Spirit is indwelt in you. You ought not want to see that garbage. They got excited when I said that. Really? Fourthly, we can look at see what Satan is doing through false religions. Any of y'all watch the TV this past week? Oklahoma? You know, we keep hearing and talking. And there's people warning our president. You know, we need to do certain things. We need to, you know, make sure our border is good and closed because people are sneaking in. Hey, listen, they're not sneaking in. They're here. They're here. When we lived in Greer, South Carolina, there were some people who lived in our neighborhood that scared me. They scared me. I wasn't sure about them. Then I listened. They didn't scare me just because they were Muslim. They scared me because of the actions that they took and they were Muslim. Listen, we need to understand that there are religions out there that want to kill us. Pastor, you're so silly. Really? A man walks into a business and cuts a lady's head off in the name of religion. Pastor, that's just the extreme part of it. Well, somebody show me the difference. Somebody please show me the difference. Listen, the difference between my God and their God is my God died for my sins that I might be free. He died for me. He didn't tell me to go die to kill somebody for my sins that I might be free. Do you hear me? What's the difference here? Right now, all these false religions are being constrained by the Holy Spirit of God. When Christ raptures the church, that restraint is going to be gone. Now, listen, if we just had to deal with lost person, if you just had to deal with one of them, that'd be bad. But you're going to have to deal with all of them. Every single one of them. Look at how bad, listen, church, we treat each other as human beings. Think about how bad we treat each other. And the Holy Spirit of God is restraining Satan from making it any worse than it is. When that restraint is gone, how bad is it going to be? Church, I have no clue as to how to begin to describe how bad things are going to be for those who are left behind after the rapture takes place. I don't have a clue. One thought I believe that I can share that is completely true is that we have never seen how bad it's going to be ever in our life. We can't even imagine how bad it's going to be. Church, we now live in a world where God freely gives us His love, His mercy, and His grace. If you are a true, listen to me, if you are a true, true child of God, you can feel that love that He has for you. And you can know that mercy has been given to you and that grace is the only reason you can call yourself a child of God. That's the only thing. I mean, listen, you know it. You can feel it. Now, let's just glimpse at the other side of God. We feel the love, the mercy, and the grace. Amen? We do. Do you know there's another side of God? There is. We've never seen it before. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mom and Dad have two sides, don't they, guys? Don't they? Most of the time you see that, sweet darling, it's time to come to dinner. Do you want to come? Wake up. Shh. Wake up. That's what they see in it, Miss Dorcas. But when they cross the line, Gidget, I didn't say if, did I? I said when they cross the line. When they cross the line, I mean, it's like speaking in tongues. Get yourself up out of that bed. There's two sides, right? Oh, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. You're telling me, and I had a relative tell me, I believe that God is nothing but love and grace. And I mean, he's not going to do anything. Really? You're not reading the same Bible that I'm reading. You're missing. Somebody's taking your Bible and ripped some pages out. You need to go to Lifeway sometime this week and get Amy to get you a new Bible. Let's take a glimpse at the other side. We've experienced all that is good from God. Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine? Now think about all the things that the Holy Spirit is restraining from God. Can you even imagine what the wrath of God looks like? What is it, Kenny, that the wrath of God looks like? What is it that the wrath of God feels like? Listen to me. After the Holy Spirit, listen, pay attention. Don't be talking. Pay attention. After the Holy Spirit of God is restrained, is removed, and Satan comes in and he gets to do what he wants to do, for 7 years the wrath of God is going to be poured out on this earth. So listen to me. This is what's going to be happening. This is what those of you who are left behind, those of you who hear me on the internet, this is what you're going to have to deal with. You're going to have to deal with everything that Satan wants to do, and it's unrestrained by the Holy Spirit of God. Plus, you're going to experience the wrath of God himself. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. Anybody want to sign up for that? We've experienced church on this earth, and we know some bad things. But it's unrestrained. It's been restrained. The Holy Spirit of God has restrained the full effects of what Satan wants to do. Thank God. But when Christ raptures the church, those who are left behind, and I promise you, listen, there's somebody here who's doubting your salvation, who truly knows that you're lost. Hey, I know I'm lost. Listen, you better pay attention. If Christ comes today, you're going to have to deal with a world with the Holy Spirit gone. And shortly after, you're going to have to deal with the wrath of God. I don't want to be here. I personally do not want to be here. That's the bad news. We got it out. Gary, we're done with the bad news. We can go on with the good news, right? Amen? What's next for the saved? What is it that's next for the saved after the rapture? Whew. Number one, y'all paying attention? Y'all ready? We go home. We go home. Gary, we get to go home. Brother Frank, we get to go home. I want y'all to hear me for a second. Listen to me. Amy and I have been together for 26 years, dating and married. 26 years. I've stayed with this woman. 26 years. The longest Keith we've ever been apart is 9 days when I went to Nicaragua. And that was back when cell phones didn't have, you know, a lot of capabilities. A lot of people were still carrying the bag phones around. You know, it was misery because I couldn't talk to my wife and my children. Couldn't do it. I sat there and I tried to email her the telephone number of this what it looked kind of like a phone in Nicaragua. But I tried to get her to call. I think she tried a couple of times. But for 9 days, I couldn't talk to my wife. No communication whatsoever at all. None. When that 9 days was up, I'm telling you, at home looked so sweet. It looked so sweet. I know some of y'all are sitting there, Jason. I know you're back there about to, you know, bite your tongue. Brother Kyle, you hadn't seen anything. You ought to go to Afghanistan or across in the Middle East and really want to come home or really want to correspond and really want to. Hey, listen, I know. I don't know how in the world, you know, the war vets back in World War II, I talked to several of them, and, you know, they were gone for 2 or 3 years. And they didn't, y'all do know there was no computer for them to talk with their family, that they'd wrote letters. No way to correspond whatsoever at all. Listen, do you know how wonderful their homecoming was? Church, I said all that because I'm trying to build, you know, a platform here. I have been saved since 1989. January the 18th of 1989, I have been saved. Since that time, I've known in the back of my mind, listen, that this is not my home. This ain't it. And listen, when Christ raptures the church, I'm going home. You're going home. We are going home. If you're a child of God, if you've accepted Christ, your personal Savior, that's the next step. Listen, we go home. That's a good thing. Secondly, listen, we're going to be refined. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or bad." As we look at this, listen, we're there. Once we're there, once we go up in the rapture, Bob, We're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not, okay, that's not enough, I'm going to kick you out. We're there. We're going to go through a refining process. What are you talking about, refining process? When I worked at the Charlotte Piping Foundry in Charlotte, we worked with molten iron. They would take iron and they would take metal and they would put it in this big, huge vat called a cupola. And the cupola would just get to amazing, I don't even know how hot it would get, but it would melt all these irons together. They would put silicone and they'd put everything in there that was needed to chemically make the iron the way it needed to be for us to make pipe with and fittings with. Now, as it was melting, Keith, it would come down a trough. And I mean, it was wild looking. It was like a volcano. It would come out of a hole and down a trough. And as it was coming down a trough, there was a little mechanism that was skimming the top of the iron. You know what it was skimming off? The impurities. That's exactly right. Now, it would go down the trough and it would split and it would go into two smaller cupolas. Okay? Now, when my iron hauler would, when we needed iron, he'd go up to these small cupolas and he would, you know, push a button and it would pull into a big, it was about like the size of this remembrance table, a big container, and he would bring it to our machine. Now, what would happen when he got to my machine is he would take the cover off and he would throw this stuff on top of it and he would skim off the top again. You know what he was doing? He was taking off the impurities again. Then, get this, listen. Every time my iron pour, I had an iron pour, would come and he would pour the iron in a ladle about like this, about this deep. He would pour the iron into the ladle, and right before I pushed the button to start to pour the iron off in the machine, guess what he would do? He would take that little ladle and he would skim the top. Four times this iron would be skimmed off. All the impurities would come off. Do you know why? Because we wanted the finished product to be pure. If one piece of slag fell off, one piece of slag went in the pipe, guess what would happen? It'd make a hole or a big piece like a rock would be in there and it would be no good. Why? Why? We wanted the pure pipe, the perfect pipe. Listen, that's what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The impurities are going to be removed from us. God is going to refine us. He's going to take all the impurities. He's going to slag us at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be repaid for all the good that we've done, all the things that we should have done, all the things that we know we ought to be doing. Church, it's going to be a good thing and it's going to be a bad thing. Church, for the first time since I've known about Jesus, after the judgment seat of Christ, I will be pleasing unto God. Y'all hear me? We'll be pleasing unto God. What this means is that I will never fail my Jesus again. I will be His and He will be mine after the judgment seat of Christ. I'll be refined. I'll be exactly what He wants me to be. Now, church, after the rapture, after Christ raptures the church, and we go home, after the judgment seat of Christ, what then? Church, we're going to have a good old Baptist fellowship. That fellowship is called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Now, y'all know I love Jewish tradition. According to Jewish tradition, especially in the Old Testament, did y'all realize that the Jews just would not sit and eat with anybody? They wouldn't. Unless you shared like mind, like faith, and if you were not in the right relationship with the church, they would not sit down and eat with you. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, every Christian, every person who's ever accepted Christ as their personal Savior, we will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb with the Lamb. Do you know what that means? We will be in right relationship, right fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's a great feeling to me. I don't know about you, but it kills me. It hurts me that I fail my Jesus. Do you hear me? But after that day, listen, we're going to sit down at the table with Him. We're going to eat with Him, church. It's going to be a wonderful day. Then what are we going to do? Church,
then we're going to celebrate as our Jewish brothers and sisters come home. As we meet and greet those who were martyred for the sake of Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. And then when those 7 years are complete, we're going to stand with Jesus and watch Him throw Satan into a pit for 1,000 years. Church, for 1,000 years, we will not see or feel the presence of Satan. That's a good thing. Amen? That's a good thing. Now, what can we take away? What can we take away from what we've just heard? Church, you have some decisions to make today. We all do. Every single one of us. This is the first one. Which side of the rapture do you want to live on? With Jesus or without Him? Does it not scare you to death to understand that if you are left behind, if you're left behind, you're going to deal with Satan unconstrained and the wrath of God? Secondly, we're all going to be judged for all that we've done and have not done. We had all better get busy doing something for the glory of God. Do you hear me? Think with me. What have I done this past week for the glory of God? What have I done this past month for the glory of God? Church, you're running out of time. You're running out of opportunities. Listen to you. Listen to your pastor. I hope and pray that I'm getting ready to give anybody in this church another opportunity to do something for the glory of God. Hey, listen, to reach our community. Hey, listen, I'm gonna give you an abler, but you've got to jump on board. Can I tell you what troubles me the most about this message? It is not that all of this is most definitely going to happen, but that I have no idea when it's going to happen. It doesn't trouble me that it's going to happen, Angie, because the Word of God, this is not a secret, Mr. Holman. If you're a student of the Word of God, you know what's going to happen. I'm not the first preacher who's told you it's going to happen, am I, Bob? What concerns me is I don't have a clue when it's going to happen. Are you ready if it started today? If today, right after we ate lunch, when we went home and we turned the TV on and the ball game came on, if we heard the trumpet of God and we heard things coming up out of the ground, we looked up in the sky knowing that we're going to be called next, are you ready for that? I can answer for me. I can't answer for you. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord Jesus, I pray that Your Spirit would move right now. Lord, help us to see ourselves as You see us. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?